Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. Quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle here back in the Labatt Blue studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We talked about the news from last week, which was a lot of recruiting, a bunch of commitments. Pushed Penn State's class into the top 10 in the country, according to 24/7 Sports. Our objective here is to look at what's left on the board and really look at the development of this 16-member class to this point, because I can't remember a class that was so volatile for, you know, that 2 or 3 week stretch where guys were coming in, guys were walking out the back door. There were some real ups and downs to get to this point. It seems like everything is on stable ground now, Greg, but it's hard to not panic when you're going through that recruiting roller coaster, which it more or less happens every cycle, by the way. Four decommitments in this class is not, if that's the way that it ends up finishing, that is not a significantly above average number at all. So I guess my question for you, Greg, to start is, how should fans be feeling about this class and how they got there, and having a guy like Julian Fleming not only not pick Penn State, but, you know, to shine a light on some of the concerns that other recruits might have. It's led to this really, as I mentioned before, a volatile feeling in this class, but they're in the top 10 in the country right now.
Yeah. And it's so funny because, you know, like I said before, everything was looking great when they were top 10 previously, and then the world was ending and the sky falling when they fell outside the top 20. And then, you know, within a quick little burst here, they are right back up to number 10. And obviously there'll be some more movement before things obviously end with the December signing period, and then the February one that really puts a bow in this class. So we'll have to wait and see how things play out. But I like the run they're on here. Obviously, some of these guys, you know, especially the junior college kids, are ones that Penn State clearly feels differently about than, you know, compared to other schools who maybe haven't seen these guys work out. The Lackawanna thing is a really interesting connection because, you know, when Penn State, when Penn State started taking Lackawanna kids, you know, they were looking to fill a major need at the offensive line, and now we see them filling other positions of need from there. So they have developed a nice relationship with, you know, Josh Pardini and the coaching staff up at Lackawanna, and it's paid off in a lot of ways. So, you know, that's two of the guys that are in this class, and I think you have to separate them from the rest of the recruits because they aren't high school kids, number one, which changes a few things. Obviously, size and speed and what kind of competition they face is at a different level, but also they don't have the same 4 years of eligibility. They're almost always guys that have 3 years to play two seasons, so they have to be an impact right away as soon as they get on campus. So you kind of put all of it together, and, you know, Penn State has a nice mixture of kids coming in, or at least they expect to come in. And as it relates to Ohio State, you know, Ryan Day and his staff out there are recruiting at a high level, and I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. I don't think that, you know, if you expected them to have a big drop-off when Urban Meyer left, you're probably surprised and disappointed, but I think most people knew that this was going to be the case, and they've really been able to do a nice job of, you know, ensuring that they continue to get players that can play at a high level, and that's only going to help them come the season, and Penn State will have to do what it can to push back toward Ohio State when it goes out there a little bit later this year.
Yeah, and I think it shouldn't be a surprise that Ryan Day and those guys are recruiting at a high level. It's just, you know, I think his little, and I think we talked about this on the show before, but
if not, we'll do it now.
His stretch in the interim for Urban Meyer and his reputation as being an offensive minded, you know, an innovator, a thinker on that side of the ball, it just plays well. And he's still got the Ohio State brand behind him. Looking at some of the targets on the board, And you can, I'm not naming all of them here, but Keziah Holmes, who's an interesting Florida running back, seems to be high on Penn State. We'll see how that one unfolds. Theo Johnson, the tight end from Canada. Court Williams, the linebacker from California. Henry Gray, a cornerback from Florida. Keandre Lambert, wide receiver from Virginia. And Joseph Johnson, a cornerback from Virginia. That's not the end-all, be-all, but that's six. That's a group of six pretty solid comp, like Penn State is firmly in the mix for all those guys. And you might notice that not one of them is from the state of Pennsylvania. It's an interesting direction that Penn State recruiting has gone, which, you know, when you see Julian Fleming go to Ohio State, that's the complaint. But Penn State is doing well outside of its usual footprint. I think maybe that's one of the questions that people have, is that what the push and the pull. So you get commitments from Florida, you get a commitment from Derek Wingo, and then because he's from Florida, you have a hard time sealing the deal there. Is there anything to the idea that Penn State is spreading on all these areas and not focusing on its own backyard enough?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. I just think that, you know, again, sometimes guys are really highly rated and you lose them and it stings and it hurts and it stinks, but there's not much you can do about it. And I think that was the case with Julian Fleming, where he just wanted to go to Ohio State, and Penn State obviously did a lot of work to try and land him, and it didn't work out. And sometimes that's going to happen. There's not really much you can do about it. And I don't think there was much they could do about it in this case. So as it relates to Pennsylvania recruiting, I do look at it as something that's going to be up and down more often than not. You know, you're always going to have the guys like Malba who are from the Harrisburg area, and Penn State's a huge offer for them, and it means a lot. You're going to have some guys who grew up rooting for other schools, and they want to go somewhere else, and they want to go to Notre Dame or Michigan or Ohio State, and you have to limit those. But I think you also have to be realistic about the fact that sometimes those schools have things that they can sell, prospects that are better than what you can sell. And you know, it is what it is, but sometimes those kids are going to look at what they can maybe do somewhere else and think it's better than what they can do at Penn State. And even though they're Pennsylvania kids, you're not always going to be able to convince them otherwise. So it's become very fickle anymore with recruiting, and there's so many little nuanced factors that maybe you don't think about that easily, you know, can change things in a hurry.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're looking at Penn State's 2020 recruiting class. We're also looking ahead to the 2019 season. Some questions that Penn State needs to answer. August 31st, the season kicks off, and I recommend, as you're looking at the Penn State's home schedule, consider gopsurv.com if you're interested in coming and staying for a weekend up there. I really don't think there's a better way to take in a football weekend than that. You tailgate in their RV lot from Friday through Sunday. You get a shuttle to and from Beaver Stadium. You get that whole tailgate feel for a weekend. You're not just driving and parking from your hotel and all that stuff. It's the ultimate tailgating experience. It's available for every home weekend. Contact Mark at gopsurv.com to learn more and try to book your own stay at gopsurv.com. I just wanted to highlight this one more time. Looking at Penn State's 2019 recruiting class, which it was a very pleasant surprise, I think. I don't think expectations were all that high because of the way the talent was and Penn State's own footprint. But there was a 1 5-star, 17 4-stars, and 5 3-stars in that 19 class. Right now in the 2020 class and the 24/7 composite, that number is 11 3-stars to 5 4-stars. Mm-hmm. So there's something to point out here. And I guess one of the things is these project types that have a chance to, you know, like Amin Vanover is going to be a 4-star player by the time the cycle's over. You can't look like him, play like him, and have offers from Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia and not pick up a 4-star.
Right.
I think there's at least a couple guys who might get that Keaton Ellis treatment. Nick Dawkins is another one who I think could get more respect as the cycle goes on. So I think that's
do you? I don't think so.
Oh, I do.
I don't think it's because he's not talented. I just think it's because of where he plays.
He's a guard.
Well, he's a guard and he plays in, you know, the Allentown area, yeah. Which there's just not a lot of people flocking to Allentown to watch high school football for whatever. For instance, there's no indictment of that level or that area. It's just a fact of the matter that he committed to, he almost reminds me of Keaton Ellis a little bit in the sense that he committed to Penn State. Everyone knows he wants to go to Penn State, so he's not going to get new offers. And I don't know if his tape's going to get looked at again. So even though he probably on merit should move up in the recruiting rankings, I highly doubt that he will.
How are you going to be? You're going to be at 6'4", 300 pounds. You are the prototype of what you want your guard to be as a high school. Right. He's not overweight. He doesn't need to be completely torn down and rebuilt. And he's the son of a former NBA player.
Right.
So the combination of things, you know, his odds of being successful are a lot higher than I think recruiting services are giving him credit for. To be the number 56 guard in the country, you're going to, I mean, 55 guards have a higher ceiling than him. I'm just not sure about that. But I think maybe you're right about him. But
maybe not.
Brandon Taylor, Amin Vanover, Golden Achumba, RJ Adams, Micah Bowens, Olu Fashanu, these are all three stars in the 24/7 composite. There's a chance that they improve those star ratings. And even if they don't, I mean, Penn State doesn't really care if they don't. It's just where their reputation lies on a national level. But Penn State, you know, they banked a lot on these in-person evaluations, and they offer kids who didn't have a lengthy offer sheet. They are putting themselves out there. And I wouldn't say it's taking risks. I mean, it's putting your reputation on the line when you take a few of these kids back to back to back like that. you're saying, I'm confident these guys are going to develop, and I don't really care what the national publications are saying. I don't really care what the perception of fans is. These are guys that we like, and we like them for reasons that fit with what our philosophy is, and we're taking all of them. And that's what they did.
Right. And I think that, you know, again, you know, you're going to hit on some of these guys. You're going to miss on some of these guys. I don't think you're ever expecting 100% hit rate when it comes to offering guys who don't have any FBS offers. There's a reason they don't have any other SBF offers, but FBS offers. But, you know, when you get them on campus and you see what they can do, sometimes you're going to feel really good about it. And I guarantee you that programs around the country looked at Penn State offering Jair Brown, looked at Penn State offering Norval Black, and not to just pick them specifically, but they are the guys that didn't have Power 5 offers, really. You know, Nick Dawkins even had a handful when Penn State offered him, but I guarantee you there's staffs around the country that say, what did we miss with this guy? Why don't we take a closer look at him? Let's turn his tape on and see if he's worth trying to get to our campus, even though he's committed to Penn State. That's the way it works. Penn State does it too. I said the other day that Penn State is pretty much out in front on guys as much as it isn't, and sometimes another Power 5 program or FBS team will offer a kid, and Penn State will say, wait a second, why didn't we watch this kid? Why didn't we offer him? And sometimes it works in reverse. So, you know, the only thing is, once you give that kid an offer or you take that kid's commitment, you've now put up in pretty big, bold letters that you think he's pretty darn good, and other teams take notice of that.
One thing I would say about the Lackawanna thing, I know we've discussed this at some point, but Penn State would not be doing what it's doing with Jaquan Brisker, Anthony Wiggin, going back to Paris Palmer, Norval Block, Jair Brown, if they didn't believe in what Lackawanna was doing, and if there wasn't at least part of them that said, we want the Lackawanna pipeline to flow in one direction, and we want it to flow to Penn State because they're good to us and we're good to them. We'll see if it pays off. We're going to continue talking about Penn State 2020 class, looking at James Franklin and his ability to develop three stars. Pretty good track record.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.